We are listener-supported. One Radio Network.
Mr. Bergstrom is with us. Adam Bergstrom. Yes, no, maybe. Solar timing. Solar timing. You mentioned one time that hydrogen, which we love, is on both sides of the...
It is.
Why?
And I'd say if my side it does.
It's on both sides of the...
Here it is, and here it is on both sides. You can see for yourself if you look at this. I'm not sure how good a picture.
Yeah, you got to bring it back a little bit. So that's the elemental table, table of elements, right?
Yep, and there is hydrogen here, and there is hydrogen here.
What
it's
is that?
The only one that...
It's the only element. Acid. It's acid and alkaline. Huh.
It's acid or alkaline. No other element can do that.
I wonder how I figured out how to do that.
Do you win if you're number two or number two? Well, I guess you get a bronze medal and a silver medal, but it's number one. It's the gold medal. Helium is number two. It's the silver medal. And lithium is number three. It's the bronze medal.
Ah, interesting. What about gold and silver? Where are they?
They're way down at the bottom. They're heavyweight elements. They're very important in small amounts, but they actually have to do with the more genetic aspects and chromosomal aspects of our body. Because, see, we're in a hierarchy. If you look at the periodic table of the elements, it's a building. And you got to know where you are on the building. Each element is in a certain row. So if you do a blood test, what does that mean? If you do a plasma blood test, then you're looking at row number three. But if you're doing a cellular cell, the blood cell, you have to look in row number four. Copper is in number four, and it is the, what is it called? Cupriglobulin. A lobster doesn't use iron for its blood. It uses copper. A sea squirt uses vanadium. They're all in that one line, number four.
Interesting.
If you're going to go out of the cell, if you want to treat the cell, you have to know what element can go there. If you want to treat the interstitial fluid, you have to know where that goes. If you want to go into the cellular components, mitochondria, you have to know you're on the fifth level. You have to know these levels, but nobody tells you that because they don't want you to know that. And it's been known for, Arvisi knew it, but people knew it before him. He didn't just make stuff up out of the air, thin air. He stood on the shoulders of giants, I believe is how they say it.
Arvisi, yeah. And you have told us that if you go to the Crazy Pharmacist website, that he's got the Arvisi book on there, and you suggested that it gets a little geeky, but if you could just read the first chapter, that would be a good thing. Manuel Arvisi.
It gives you the idea of how to use it. And actually, it's not really difficult. I've read medical textbooks that are much more complicated. They claim his work is complicated, but once you learn, it's like the Rosetta Stone. When you know how to translate it, then you can read anything. And it's the Rosetta Stone. Textbooks and Materia Medica go on and on and on. And if you try and read a medical textbook today compared to 100 years ago, 100 years ago, it wasn't designed as secrets to keep us out of it. That's all medical jargon is, to kill people.
Yeah.
Hospitals are the major cause of death. And medical nemesis, iatrogenesis, they call it, is not the third or fourth leading cause of death. It's the leading cause of death in the world.
And what is that? Explain what that is, the leading cause?
Doctor killer, doctor murderers. Hmm. Doctors are murdering. Actually, it's not the doctors. It's their commissar. It's their leader, the people who tell them what they're taught.
Yeah.
Doctors, I met a lot of fine doctors. I know a lot of them. I've worked, doctors have been my clients, and I've gone to them. They're not the problem. It's their brainwashing techniques that are. So the good doctors are the ones that kill. The clinical, see, they usually say iatrogenesis, meaning doctor-caused diseases, or, oh, they forget to do this, or, oh, I forgot and left the syringe inside the belly when I did the surgery. That's called iatrogenesis. But there's another iatrogenesis. The good kills us. If you look at all the things they tell us are good, estrogen is good for women. No, it isn't. It causes cancer. Nitric oxide is good. Omega-3 acids are good. Almost everything, I would say 90% of what doctors tell you is good for you, is actually bad for you.
90%. Yeah.
90%. Easily. I find all kinds of things. Like, look at the gallbladder. People go and get their gallbladder removed. Well, all you have to do is cut it open and take the gallstones out and sew it back up. But they don't do that because they don't want you to have a gallbladder, which protects your heart and protects your pancreas. It's really hard to get pancreatitis as long as you have a gallbladder.
What causes those stones to form in the gallbladder?
Eating habits let's put it this way. You increase your chances of gallstones by fasting 3 times. But that's not the only one. You can get gallstones from eating the wrong foods, not eating oils, not eating meat in some cases, butter, things of that nature. Johns Hopkins said it's impossible, according to Johns Hopkins. I actually agree with him on something. Holy cow. Johns Hopkins says if you take a teaspoon of either whole cream or olive oil 3 times a day, you will never get a gallstone ever again, according to Johns Hopkins in a medical book I read in the public library.
You think that's accurate?
Actually, there's some exceptions to the rule. I don't go for a black and white situation. It's always shades of gray.
Yeah.
But mostly, yes. Mostly, yes. People that are fasting increase their chances, but then they get other benefits from it. You know, you can fast and cure cancer. There are cases of it happening.
Sure.
If you use sugar, like the grape juice fast. I met someone who was 60, and she was supposed to die at 9 years old. Her family's put her on the grape cure. She was alive. He said, I was that little girl of 9 that would cry because I wasn't getting food, that all they fed me was grape juice. But I'm alive because of it.
We're live here this morning, March 1st, 2021. Patrick Timpone, along with Adam Bergstrom, Ray Peet will be here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock Central Time, which is 9 o'clock in the Left Coast time, Adam, for Ray Peet, for you, if you want to listen. This caller, I'm sorry, I almost forgot. I'm sorry to almost forget you. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from Canada.
From Canada? Okay.
Yes.
All right. What's up? You're on the air with Adam Bergstrom.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Patrick.
Hi.
You're both two of my favorite gentlemen on radio.
Oh, you have great taste, man. You have great taste.
I have a few random questions for Adam. First question is, when I was a child under the age of 12, I've had quite a few mercury fillings put in my mouth. I've thought about getting them removed, but I think I heard a show with Ray Peet where he said after you've had them for, you know, so many decades, it's mostly leaked out. I'm in my 40s. Do you think there's any value in getting them removed now, or, you know, is it just there now and I should just leave it alone? That's my first question. My second question is...
Okay, let's do that one. Let's do that one first for us. Okay,
sure.
Go ahead. What do you think?
Well, being a contrarian among contrarians, I would leave them in because the surgical, unless you know how to deal with shock, it's a great shock to remove your teeth. Sometimes you have to. Do you know we have a vampire bug here in California that comes and anesthetizes your mouth? You can't make this stuff up. And so you can't feel it, and it goes around your entire mouth, and then they have to remove the teeth. Because your teeth, you will die if they don't take your entire teeth out and put false teeth in.
Now, we're not removing a tooth. She's just talking about changing out the fillings.
Right. And right. I would say no.
No?
But I'm a contrarian. Mercury doesn't bother me. I've been eating mercury and being exposed to mercury all my life. I ate enough tuna I ate a can of tuna a day for years and years and years. I ended up with yellow fat disease, not from the mercury, but from the omega-3 fatty acids in it.
Caller, I'll be a contrarian and disagree with Adam. I would get those guys out just because I've hung around with Dr. Hal Huggins and my doctor, Nunley, and they think it's the best thing to do to get them out. But you want to be, if you choose, whichever you choose to do, in or out, if you choose out, you want to make sure that you go to somebody that really knows what they're doing. They put in the right things, and they have fans, and they have real protection and, you know, stuff like that. So be careful if you choose to get them out. What's your second question?
Oh, my second question is, I've been going through your archives, Patrick, and I've been listening to some really old shows with Adam, and I love them. There was one show where Adam mentioned the thalassemia trait, the Mediterranean anemic disease. My husband doesn't actually have the sickle cell anemia, but he has the trait, meaning he's slightly anemic. Adam has mentioned taking, I think it was molasses and orange juice to increase, I guess, your iron stores in your blood cell. Could he just explain that and how it works?
Molasses and tomato juice.
Tomato juice, yes.
Oh, yeah. What's going on?
Most people have enough iron. But in some cases like that, the iron works. And whether you want to do the Jennifer Daniels, where she gets the non-organic or the organic, I use either one.
Mm-hmm. And there's something special with molasses and tomatoes, and you do that around noon or 1 o'clock?
Well, let's put it this way. A good friend of mine, and there's many cases like this, but she goes to the doctor, and because she's from, one of her parents was from Sicily, and they have a particular form of anemia there that's very serious. So the doctor told her, to have your child, you have to go on blood transfusion. And she said, no, I'm going to do this tonic my brother taught me about, that he learned from me. And that's what I'm going to do. And the doctor, of course, was incensed. It said, well, we have to keep doing blood tests to prove it's okay. Well, by the time the baby was born, the gynecologist said she had the richest iron supply in the placenta of anyone she had ever seen, and she wanted the formula, which is nothing but a teaspoon of molasses and 6 or 8 ounces of tomato juice. Stir it in and drank it either harp time, if you want to target the heart and the kidneys, or small intestine time, if you want to target the small intestine and the liver.
So heart time's around noon, right, in that area. And small intestine times, let's see if I remember, is that more 1 to 3 in the afternoon? No?
1 to 3, a siesta time.
I got lucky. Oh, it's time to take a nap. What do you think, caller?
I've been hanging out together for a long time.
Did we help you?
Yeah, I'll try that.
By the way, a lot of life force in your voice. You can tell a lot about people by their voice. You have a lot of life force. That's excellent. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can I ask just one last question?
Sure.
What does Adam think about feng shui? Does he believe in it? Does he incorporate it in his life? Is there any validity to it?
Definitely there is. Most of what you read in the books, though, is not correct, but definitely the energy of the rooms around us make a difference. And it's well known, if you live around squares, do a muscle test. Look at any square, and it will weaken your body. Look at any circle, and it will increase your body. That's why people are so much more healthy when they built mounds and igloos and things like that.
Interesting.
And you know, they call them arrows in feng shui. Like, the arrows do make a difference. Besides, you catch your ankle on it and get in pain. But round tables you want. You know, the knights of King Arthur had a round table, not a square table. There's no stress in circles. Now, we need a certain stress. Every once in a while, if you need an adrenal charge, be around squares. And triangles and squares and circles make a difference. If you want to lose weight, eat circle, because circles, you won't have an appetite. But if you cut it in triangles, triangles automatically increase your saliva level. So then you eat it. That's why they cut the pizza in slices. You got the whole thing, you'd never finish it. Slices, you'll finish the whole thing and ask for a second piece.
That's great. I should
bite into an apple and not slice it up.
If you don't want to gain weight, but the secret of weight is actually air breathing control. Right here I have on the internet, Casey Byatter gained more than 60 pounds of muscle mass in 20 days with only 12 high-intensity workouts, each of which were less than 30 minutes. How did he do that? And what they don't tell you is that after he won the Mr. whatever it was at that time, big body building title, he then gained 75 pounds in 3 days without any workout. That's supposed to be impossible according to Western science, but he did it, and I've gained 10 pounds overnight by fasting.
How, you just because you wanted to? You just told your body, let's just gain some weight here?
No, my body was in stress. It was about a woman. What's the matter with me?
When we're in stress, we actually gain weight.
Oh, yeah. No. That's why Americans are so obese. They have no clue that they're in stress.
I see.
But it's in stress to sit in rows in a school, to go to work with a mask on your face 40 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder obesity is coming.
Yeah.
There were no real obese people when I went to school. I mean, there was an occasional fatty, but you didn't see it that much. There were fat people, but now, geez, you look at the news on NBC and all you see is fat people.
Mm-hmm. So, caller, I would just put your husband in the right corner when he misbehaves, and that'll solve your feng shui problem.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Take care.
See you.
Thank you.
888-663-6386. Excuse me. I cut myself off. 888-663-6386. Adam, I live in a straw bale home. I don't know if you know that, but I should put some pictures on the website. I'll do that sometime once I figure out how my camera works. And every corner around windows, around doors, around corners, they're all round. There's no corners whatsoever. It's beautiful. And I remember when the straw bale people were telling me about it, they said it's much better feng shui. There's just soft, you know, they're all soft. There's no corners here at all. No corners. It's great.
And, you know, they're better in many ways. I stayed with a man in Taos, New Mexico,
yeah,
out in the middle of a place where it gets 40 below. His entire heat was done with the hot water heater for his dishes,
yeah,
during the winter. He didn't even need a heater at all. It was so well insulated. His body heat and the heat from washing his dishes was enough to warm the entire thing at 40 below zero.
I agree.
Amazing.
I would have been a tough time with no propane over this, you know, my two-week little, you know, freeze karma. And we had a wood stove. And, I mean, we would have a 50 or 60 degree difference, or 70, between outside and inside with just a little wood burning stove for the whole house. Yeah, these things are really well insulated.
Right now.
Yeah, man. Whew. I get cold thinking about not having a straw bale. It's like, whoa. Have you ever lived? I'm sure you have, because you have a lot of experience. Go ahead.
Well, I said you've understood that principle for a long time. Obviously, you've lived in that house for a long time,
yeah,
right?
25 years, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I was about to ask you something. With all your experiences and all your wives, I just kind of flashed on the idea when I started to get shivered with the insulation. Have you ever lived in a mobile home?
Yes.
OMG.
About a decade.
You talk about cold and hot. You don't even want to think about it, right? Oh, my God. It's just, there's nothing there, right, but a piece of plywood.
Definitely. Also, look what happens when you're in an area like Texas or Florida when the tornadoes come.
Oh, man.
Who gets it? Those things go up in the sky.
Yeah, just blip you up, man. Carry you away, just like
You know, a funny case of trauma, Buster Keaton, the comedian, when he was a little kid, what did he do? He cut off the tip of his finger by putting it in a wringer, and so the doctor came and fixed that. Then he decides to take a pear off the tree, and he wanders out as a little kid, throws the brick up in the air, it hits him in the head. The doctor has to come back to repair that. Then he wakes up in bed the same day, and a Kansas Twister comes down the pipe. So he goes to the window and looks out, and it sucks him out the window, blows him a block away, where a neighbor grabs him out of the air and brings him into the house and saves his life. That was a tough day. I wonder who was the matter with him.
Who was the matter there? Hannah Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're live here this morning, March 1st. Ray Pete is going to be here tomorrow. We have a lot of cool people coming up. This is from Bob. Patrick, you and Adam both sound great. Patrick, especially since your snow event, very pronounced improvement. Adam sounds great, too. You know, it is interesting. I think that when we go through difficult times, that we get stronger. I felt that, yeah. I mean, you know, once you deal with no water and no heat and no internet, no phones, and no nothing except doodle and wood, you just get stronger. You just get stronger.
A change is better than a rest, too. We get bored in schedule, and all consistency to unified consistency tends to break us down.
Huh.
I remember one time I got lost in the woods in the Yosemite, and I decided, you know what I'll do? I'll follow the loop. And it was such a great, exciting adventure. So I took my shoes off, and I start wading down the street, stream, and just in time, somehow, through some kind of miracle of dumb luck, my high school buddy and my brother found me and said, where are you going? I'm going downstream. Do you realize that there's no civilization for 60 miles if you walk down that stream? And I said, oh, I'm glad you rescued me. And so anyway, I was saved. But it was exciting to me that now it would be up to me to survive, and could I do it? You've seen that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio where he portrayed true story of the guy that got ripped up by that bear?
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember that was a great movie. What was the name of that thing? I don't know.
Yeah, he crawled, the actual man crawled for miles. He was left for dead, and he was so mad that they left him behind that he crawled, even with infection and everything, with his guts ripped out and everything, he survived.
Yeah.
He was a survivor. Anyway, in true history, he actually survived through his wits and through his brawn many other adventures before that. I don't know. I didn't see the movie, so I don't know if they put that part in it or not.
Adam, that reminds me of the cold. I had a very interesting experience during the big freeze, was that when I didn't really get very cold going outside. It was real different from having to be out there to do something important, right? Rather than walking to your car and all of a sudden tightening up and going, brr, you know, it's cold. That's what makes you cold. So I really start thinking about Wim Hof and how he does it. And I found out there when it was zero that the more I just relaxed and say, okay, doodle, it's cold. This is fun. How you have? And, you know, she just thought it was great. The more I relaxed and allowed my circulation, you know, to go, I think this is what some of the thing that Wim Hof does, right?
I mastered it one time. In fact, my witness is our friend Carol Crosby. She remembers when I wore nothing but tank tops, even in the snow, even in the coldest
day. Yeah.
Even wind and everything. I was just basically dressed in a tank top and shorts. One time I was in Houston. It was 32 degrees, I believe. The wind is blowing. I'm out there drinking an orange juice on the street corner in a tank top and shorts. A lady runs by in all kinds of scarf and coats, and she screams at me. And I suppose you think it's summer. She was mad at me for sitting
so
out there in the cold.
You were doing this just for an experiment, and you were just kind of willing it to be so that your body would deal with it? How did you do that?
You know, I don't know. It kicked in.
It
just
did.
I said it's because I was freaking body toddy at the time, but I have no idea. I went up to Santa Fe, and I lay in the snow in a Speedo. People are walking by looking at me. What the hell? He's lying. Excuse me. What the heck?
Yeah.
He's lying in the snow on a bench, snow on him in the middle of a snowstorm. And he's lying there with his arms behind his head, enjoying the snow.
We're live here this morning, March 1st. You know, I've been doing, which is really fun, ever since I didn't have any hot water, even after I had water. Interesting, is doing this sauna for like 30 minutes and getting really hot and sweaty, and then jumping into ice cold water OM, man, I love it now. And I really saw how the only reason I would not do it as I'm walking to the shower is because the little mind says, oh, it's going to be cold. Don't do that. And if you don't pay attention to that, man, you're in there. And after about, 10 seconds or 15 seconds, it's not even cold. It's really fascinating. Now, I mean, I'm talking that water I measured, it was like 40 degrees. You know, that's cold on rainwater. You know, it was cold outside. You know, Dr. Cowan is talking about doing like ice cold water on your face. I saw a video first thing in the morning and doing that a lot for like 5 minutes. And he says that it really puts you into a more relaxed parasympathetic mode. Do you understand? Do you agree with that?
Yes, no, maybe. I think it's good for you, but I'm a fan of the sympathetic nervous system, being a contrarian among contrarians,
yeah,
because
mm-hmm.
the sympathetic nervous system gives a sympathetic tone. If I didn't have a sympathetic nervous system, I'd just fall apart. My arms would dislocate. I'd fall
sure,
over the
course.
So I'm a champion of the sympathetic nervous system and the dermatological system. There's two positive ones. And there's a sympathetic and an enteric nervous system.
Hmm.
It's a little complicated,
yeah.
But four is where we'll stop.
I believe where he was going with that is that because of our life, that most folks are in over sympathetic, over stressed, over like the type A things. And he was helping people to kind of chill out a little bit and get more para. I think that's where he was going with that idea, kind of the Wim Hof thing.
And, of course, I think that it's the opposite, that most people are in parasympathetic
really?
Nervous systems. And that's
so when you react and think Bill Gates is a commie and throw stuff at your computer, and that doesn't put you in more fight or flight and more sympathetic?
It puts you in parasympathetic nervous system because you don't act. The thing is to act. So what do you do? You go do something. You pick up a weapon and you go handle it. That's how we used to do it. There was no problem. Now, I'm civilized. I can't do violence. Oh, I can't do that. I can't tell my boss that he's a blank, blank, bleepity bleep, because otherwise I will get fired. So my sympathetic nervous system was fine one time when I used to have to punch in this job. And as I ran, we had to punch out for breaks. So the boss of the entire store comes in and says, come back here. Well, right away, I didn't like the tone of his voice. Have you punched out for breaks? And I said, yes. And he said, show me your time card. And I said, here's the bleep thing. And he said, do you know who you're talking to? Yes, I'm talking to a slob. He said, you come to my office. You don't have to fire me. I quit. I took off my badge. Did the Huck Pooh mantra on it, spit on it, and walked out. My sympathetic nervous system was great that day.
So
when you do those kind of things.
I see. So when you're being true to yourself, even though it could be uncomfortable or, you know, people might get angry, expressing yourself, that keeps us in sympathetic. And when we don't, it do more parasympathetic, more relaxed, but you could be more passive.
Why do people die on ventilators? Because they put them full of parasympathetic drugs to keep them. They can't breathe. You ever look at the instructions on YouTube, how they hook up one of those ventilators, and you will see. It takes over the breathing for you. You don't have a choice of how fast you breathe. You breathe at a different rate. I do. The caller breathes at a different rate. Everybody breathes at different rates. They put you on one rate. They're going to kill everybody who doesn't match that one-size-fits-all rate. Look at YouTube and see how they hook those things up. They put it down your throat, and then they give you drugs because you panic if realize that you're not breathing. It's breathing for you. And, of course, it can't do the job your lungs does. People are not dying of COVID. They're dying of
ventilators. Yeah, whatever.
Bugs.
And
we've talked
about that the hospitals get, I think, $30,000 from the gov, the one we love, our taxpayers, our dollars, if they put somebody on a ventilator. $30,000.
lots of money. That's what they do. They care about killing people. They are now basically concentration camps. When you get in there, you can't get out.
So the whole eugenics, Agenda 21, Klaus Schwab, and we've run some of the videos, this whole movement of lowering the population, you believe this is real?
Oh, yeah. They want 66 million people in the United States. How many do we have now? 250 million?
350.
350.
So they want to...
That's the goal.
These people want to kill off 300 million people?
They only want 66 million in this country for some reason. They want more in other countries. Some other countries do a lot better than us. That's in their plans. You can find it on the internet.
I know. This is not tinfoil hat stuff, folks. They really put this stuff in writing.
That's right. You know, the funny thing is, conspiracy therapists, how do you become a conspiracy theorist? You quote Klaus Schwab. Did you see him getting initiated now into that jacket and everything?
No.
And taking the oath?
No.
He looks like Darth Vader. You got to see this. It's amazing. It's on the internet. You'll find him. He puts on this cloak, and they put like do a ceremony. And he talks, and it's like Darth Vader. You can't make this stuff up. And they proceed in doing it. They invent people like Klaus Schwab to make you think it's foreign intervention when it's coming from Harvard in the United States. Boston is where the center of the New World Order is. He went to Harvard. Schwab was sent there to do an accent like Kissinger. You've got to have an accent like that so that you find
you think you're important, right? You think you're important, yeah.
Right. They need people like that so you can blame them. The whole thing about the whole COVID scam, hoax, whatever you want to call it, is a magician makes you look at this hand and he's busy picking your pocket with the other hand or doing this nefarious thing. Study magic and you'll find out exactly what they're doing. The whole face mask is a scam to keep you from knowing what's going on with the Great Reset in your hometown where they're busy destroying and getting ready to move people out. I'm not moving from California because they want us to move out of here so they can have it for themselves. They want green zones where we live in 200 square feet in a city someplace so they can go and do their hunting, safaris, whatever they're going to do in the great wilderness.
Safaris.
So they want everybody to move to Texas and the Midwest. Not me. I'm sticking it out. They're going to have to drag me out of California.
They'll tax you out of California. That's just tax.
I mean, look at the view. I look out, I see the Channel Islands, the view here. It's the government that's the problem. It's not the scenery. The scenery is so beautiful here. We have Yosemite.
Can you move the camera? Yeah, can you move the camera so we can see?
Wait. Oh, no.
No.
Let's see. No, the cord
that's all right.
Blocks it.
That's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful, like I can look out here and see islands and ocean and everything, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. There's a mountain peak up here. I call it Butt Crack Mountain because it looks like one. There's a house on the top of the hill, mountains and everything. I think, what was his name used to live up there? Who sang it? They came in the bathroom window? Joe Cocker. His house was right up
there.
Oh,
we love Joe, yeah. Here's an interesting email for Adam Bergstrom as we're live here this morning, March 1st, 2021. Can you explain the science of breath holding like David Blaine talks about? He claims he can control his heart rate with breath work. I have been doing breath holding exercises to try to expand my lungs, but I think it also helps reduce inflammation. When I exhale after a long hold, I get very warm and my nasal passages seem to open up more.
I do Kriya. There's different variants of doing that, but breath control is putting your attention to it. People don't concentrate on the air. It's invisible, so you can't see it, so they don't know right. It's a physical thing.
Who's
there
David?
Are yogis
do you know David Blaine? Do you know David Blaine?
I'm not familiar with that.
Me neither. Yeah. I'm sorry, you were saying there are yogis that...
Yeah, who can inflate themselves. They can be 180 pounds and then go up to 280 pounds and then come down to 180. That's all breath. We're balloons.
Yeah.
A fat cell can expand 1,000 1,000 times. Now, tell me that's not a balloon.
You know what I like to experiment with that for you all, if you all would like to learn how to hold your breath, I do the opposite. I'm a contrarian. What I do is just breathe a little, get really good at that, the buteyko, so I'm barely breathing, right? Barely breathing. And then you just stop breathing, and you don't have to breathe for a long time. That's not holding the breath. That's different from going, right, and holding. I can't do that very long that way. But if I don't breathe, I can go without breathing for a minute and a half or so.
I am now a follower of the Patrick Timpone breath.
What do you think? What do you think? Yeah, try that. Try that. Adam, I wanted to tell you something that I've mentioned. I don't know if you heard me talking about, but I can recall one day you were mentioning somebody that used to sit in a yogic position and try to just raise their head up, right? Who was that? Remember you talking about that? Just got to get taller and taller and taller with just extending their neck straight up. You said that one day. You were telling me all about that.
You know, I remember vaguely something about it, but you can lengthen yourself out.
Yeah.
You have a person there in Austin who has lengthened his Mr. Happy 2 inches.
I beg your pardon?
What? Mr. Lifto. He lifts 80 pounds with his Mr. Happy.
You're kidding me. You know, Dr. Wong used to talk about that. He would teach people how to tie silly things, you know, and do push-ups with Mr. Happy. So that's what this guy did, really.
And this Mr. Lifto, who is now in Austin, he's been in various places traveling around with one of those, I think, Jim something circus.
Mm-hmm.
he is actually can maintain an erection and bend it over double.
What?
I know. That's what I said.
No, I'm not trying that one.
He's coming. He's going.
So this guy's really into the penis, this Mr. Lifto, huh? How do you know about him?
Yeah, he also lifts things with his earlobes and his nipples and everything else. He's got he has a piercing through his Mr. Happy, and he puts a chain in there. And then he lifts up 80 pounds with it.
Wow.
You can see him. He's on YouTube. He doesn't do that there because they don't allow him to do it because of YouTube standards. But he does it with his earlobes. Can you imagine lifting up huge blocks of cement
with your earlobes?
And metal with earlobes? He does it with his tongue.
No kidding. So he just got good at this, huh?
He takes a nail and hammers it up his nose, by the way, every night as a performance.
This guy sounds a little strange, but I'm sure he's great fun at a party. You know, what can I tell you?
Yeah. And his buddy, he puts his head on broken glass and then tells people to stand on his head.
Really?
And he heals himself every day. Right there in Austin.
I should meet this fellow. What's his name? Lifto? He might be fun just to meet.
I forget his actual name. If you look up Mr. Lifto, I write about him in the latest sex.
I'll see if I can find him.
Mr. Lifto. There's an interview with him, and there's one video of him doing the earlobe thing.
Here's
amazing character.
Here's an email. Good morning, gentlemen. Great shows last week. I listened to Richard Ulrey talk about people who have been recently vaccinated and the possibility that they could shed up to 6 months after the shot. Can Adam explain what this could possibly mean, and should we really be concerned about people who have been vaccinated?
Oh, vaccination, it's not even vaccination.
No, this one, yeah.
Pointed out,
right.
Greg Ward. It's a hoax. And by the way, there's no mRNA. That's a bunch of baloney too. Have you ever eaten mRNA yeast? That's not going to do anything. They just have a plain poison that they're poisoning people. Now, Johnson & Johnson has one out of nowhere. They can suddenly, in one day or two, get the variants. Each one is different. How can they get a variant? It's all a scam to put poison in our system that is lifelong. Once you get that vaccine, you better do some detoxing. You got some serious detoxing. You think mercury detoxing? Man, oh man!
So
anyone who takes that vaccine is crazy.
I'm assuming then that all of the different videos, and we've ran plenty on this radio station, right? One Radio Network, TV, whatever we are. I don't even know where we are. So these are not exaggerations of the dangers of this thing, in your opinion, Adam Bergstrom.
Very dangerous, but it's not mRNA. They can't do mRNA. That's natural. Right now on the internet, look up mRNA yeast. It's been sold in health food stores since the 70s. So they're lying. It's poison. They're putting poison. God knows what's in it.
Oh, you don't Nobody have. Really we don't have any idea. How would you know, right? They're not going to put it on the label.
No, and they don't tell you. And yet these guys are making, they're billionaires now. This has taken Captain to a point where you're forced to buy the product. You know, if you sell a product, I can buy your air guard or your air doc, or I get a choice. With the vaccines, you don't get a choice. Is that capitalism? This is actually... These people should be prosecuted for murder.
Yes, sir. The UK, the UK and
murder.
Israel are also very close to doing vaccine passports. And these will be little things.
Yeah,
you know?
And because Moderna made a deal with Netanyahu to do the testing on citizens of Israel rather than... They made a deal. They paid a lot of money.
Really?
And who chose the head? Moderna as Operation Warp Speed, Michael Milken. Look him up.
Boy, Netanyahu, he's a bad actor, isn't he? He's kind of spooky dookie.
This world is run by bad actors. Us good actors better take over soon because we're running out of time.
Who are the good actors?
We are. We're the heroes.
You and me, you know, and our listeners.
We create.
Yeah, yeah. We're the good actors. Oh.
You know, I created it because my favorite book was The Lord of the Rings, where Frodo Baggins was against inestimable odds.
Yes.
And yet he prevailed. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We are prevailing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Who knows how it's going to happen, but that's the luck of the Irish, of the Swedes, and the luck of the Italians.
Adam Bergstrom, this entire COVID thing is falling apart at the seams. You know, they just underestimated the intelligence of people, and people are taking off their masks, and this whole vaccine thing is a bust. I mean, 3/4 of the military said they don't want this injectable medical device. 3/4. That's huge. They say, we don't want that stuff.
I'm amazed at the military because you either took that shot or you didn't.
Yeah.
So now they have a choice. That's a progress to me.
Yeah, there really is. You know, they're a little bit, they're giving them more progress, yeah.
Yeah, before, if you said, I refuse to take the shot, you ended up in the brig, or you ended up with a dishonorable discharge, or if you were in a battlefield, they shot you for not taking the vaccine.
When I was in boot camp in San Diego near you in 1965, they just have you take off your, roll up your shirt sleeves, right? And you get in line, and you don't ask what you're going to do. You don't say, I don't want to do this. You just do it. I mean, you don't even have a choice, right? And you walk through this line, and they got two guys on either side, right? Or one guy with a gun. And they get both at one time, and they go, pff, pff, pff. They give you about, I don't know, 10 shots in one hit. But I don't know. It didn't kill me, so I must have detoxed him somewhere along the line.
I was lucky. I got my draft notice the same day I got the notice that my wife was pregnant. So I just sent him a letter. Sorry about that. And
did you
I
really?
Got out of the draft.
You had good
draft. Yeah, the same day. Look at the Irish again, or look at the Swedes.
Well, I wasn't drafted. It was during Vietnam, the beginning, but I joined so I could become a radio dude.
All right.
Yeah, Armed Forces Radio.
Yeah, I was drafted. I got the draft notice, and then the same day I found out my wife was pregnant.
And all you did was just write them a letter, and they let you out?
Yeah, because at that time, if you were a parent or a potential parent,
I see.
Your wife was pregnant, you got out of the draft. And it just happened that my timing was just right.
What?
So I didn't go to... It was pre-Vietnam. We weren't even in Vietnam back in 1960, I guess.
1960. Yeah, Vietnam Well, they were over there getting ready for Vietnam, but I don't think there was much going on. Well, there was, actually, because Eisenhower was involved in Vietnam, and Kennedy came in 60, and he inherited some Vietnam stuff that nobody knew about. So, yeah, it was going on back there. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, the French, particularly, the French were involved.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
And gave the problem.
What a mess.
There's still people losing legs because we dropped bombs looking like toys. So kids would go pick them up and blow up. There are still hundreds of deaths in Thailand and places like that where we went over the borders from people picking up these toys. Yeah. The biggest industry, I think, in one of those countries, maybe Thailand, is artificial limbs, perfect for medical nemesis.
Those kids running into those bombs that we planted over there.
Get them while they're young.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Kissinger.
What a disaster, boy.
Now we got Mr. Schwab doing the same thing to us.
Mr. who?
Schwab.
Yeah, Schwab.
Schwabinger. Mr. Schwabinger.
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 Did you see where the military's over there bombing Syria as we speak? What the hell is that about?
They're the same thing that Biden criticized Trump for, and now they're doing the same thing. How come? And they didn't even bother to have a reason. They just did it. And they've been doing it. They've been planning this since January, before even the great capital invasion or whatever they wanted to call that thing. Yeah, they've been wanting to get Syria for a long time.
What's up with Syria?
And Iran.
It's about Putin, isn't it, and the pipeline and all that? That's what that's about?
Pipeline, I see it as the main problem. There's some other things there too, but the pipeline is one of the biggest.
The West doesn't want Putin selling the gas to Europe. The West wants to sell the gas to Europe, and so they're trying to get Putin out of Syria, and that's what the bombing's about. I mean, that's what F. William Mingdahl told us years ago. Remember when we used to have him on, F. William?
He did. Yeah, he's right.
Follow the money, dude. Just follow the money.
Know the source and follow the money.
Know the source and follow the money. Adam taught me, this is Carol. Hi, Carol. Adam taught me to eat raw onions to counteract mercury in old fillings. Did you remember that?
I'd forgotten about that. Thanks, Carol. Yeah, onions are so amazing to counteract anthrax. The U.S. Army, they claim they don't have any kind of cure for anthrax now. During the Second World War, you can find this in old science books. The Army, when they entered buildings that would possibly had anthrax, they sprayed it down with onion juice.
Is that
right?
And
the onion juice neutralized anthrax just like that.
Isn't that interesting? Onions.
Onions are very powerful. They're highly anti-carcinogenic in small amounts. Ray Pete disagreed with this, but Mr. Pete, there's a lot of evidence, or Dr. Pete, a lot of evidence the other way.
And
you can eat too many onions. Onions can give you heartburn if you eat them at the wrong time and you eat too many of them.
They're a nighttime food, right?
Nighttime food, definitely. Right there with garlic and the other members of the lily family.
There are lily and the members of the lily family? Onions?
Only two families in the entire planet, the rose family and the lily planet, lily family. It's one or two of the others, and onions are definitely very lily-like.
Lily, how be lily?
Lily liver, that's good for your liver, too. Onions are really great liver tonics. You want to detox your liver, a little bit of raw onion. You take a small amount with other foods. Onion by itself can be a problem, but when you combine it with a nighttime protein and the nighttime fat and nighttime carbohydrate, man, they work great. It's a wonderful food.
Just a little bit of a raw onion with your nighttime meal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And garlic, too. I take little slices of garlic all my meal.
What are some of the little tricks to get Mr. Gallbladder happy? I've been feeling some discomfort right around gallbladder time, right around, 10 o'clock? No, 11 o'clock solar time. 11 solar time. So I'm thinking I want to give a little help there to Mr. Gallbladder. What could I do more of? I read your book and you said apple juice and olive oil at gallbladder time.
Well, that's for the purge. But just taking any kind of an oil in its time, olive oil happens to be neutral. It doesn't care about clocks at all. Other foods, they come out with day or night and relations like that. The olive is a very, very unusual plant, and olive oil and olives themselves, they protect the gallbladder dramatically. But any kind of fat, well, coconut oil in the morning, a butter in the middle of the day, and more olive oil at night. You could even take a little peanut oil if you wanted a small amount. It's a monounsaturated oil, mm-hmm. not an omega-3 or even an omega-6. It has some in.
So you would, help Mr. Gallbladder be happy, you would take some olive oil, like a teaspoon or a tablespoon, right at gallbladder time, right on like 11 o'clock solar?
Three times a day, actually, because the gallbladder has a shunt. It protects the heart,
okay.
It protects the colon, and it protects the kidneys.
What is the emotion? What's the emotion or thing about gallbladder that I could look at while my low gallbladder is just acting up a little bit? I don't look at it as negative. I'm looking at it as a good sign saying, okay, do something here. I have fun with this stuff. Do you know the emotion that's connected to the gallbladder?
Yes, gall.
Gall.
The word is gall. You want to have the gall to walk into a market without a mask. You want to have the gall to wear a bunny suit and nobody criticizes you. You want to do anything you want to. Back in the day, I used to do handstands in my bathing suit in the middle of an Eastern town. People walking by with suits and everything and high heels and everything, and I'm out there in a bathing suit. Doing handstands.
So the opposite of that would be too passive and allow somebody to take advantage of you, or you would feel like, what's the word for that? It would be when somebody's invading your space. Oh, is there a word for that?
Victimized. Yeah, invading your space where you get forced out. We don't have the gall to stand. I had gall when I stood up to my boss. He was acting like a so-and-so, so I acted like him. Now, I didn't go above it. Adano Lay recommended the mirror technique. Exactly what they give you, out of love, you give it back to them. Exactly what they gave you. No more, no less. That's called military game theory. They know if you give less, the other side escalates. If you give more, they escalate. But if you do exactly the exact amount that they gave to you, then it de-escalates.
Okay, so you would do a spiritual exercise that I call them, and close your eyes and imagine and go through the whole process to giving the person back exactly what they gave you. Right?
Excellent.
Is that what you're saying?
Technique.
Yeah. Very interesting. That's how we can change the past too, even though the past doesn't exist, if you want to change it, just go back and change it.
Yep, you can change the past. See, if we believe in time, we can't do it.
Right.
I learned from Adano Lay, and Master Chen will tell you the same thing. Yes, you can go back and change the time. They do it in Star Trek all the time, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
Flying machines and everything?
Right. Do you know...
They had a time machine in JPL back in the 1990s.
Huh. Okay, I'm going to tell a little story about Who's the Matter with You that Adam taught me. Well, he taught me the thing, and then I did a little deal. If you would like to try this product, this is one of the few high calcium foods that I would recommend. Now, this is just high calcium. There's all kinds of minerals in here, but there's also target proteins, but there's quite a bit of calcium as well. And so this would be maybe a way to get some good calcium into your body if you don't care to drink milk or just do it, and then you brush your teeth with it. It's called Pearlsium, but it's from a living source, real pearl from real oysters who have a real bank account. No, let's just made that part up. Okay, these are real pearl. And what they do, I read this on the internet, What they do is they put sad movies in front of the pearls and some of the oysters, and then they cry and they make pearls. And that, I made that part up. But there's something about pearls get kind of an irritated sand in their little thing, and that's why they make a pearl. They're so, pearls are like oyster tears. Isn't that beautiful? Well, Dr. Rulin Shu, she knew when she was a young whippersnapper in China that she wanted to sell pearl. She knew it. She tells the story, and she's a quantum physicist, a very high spiritual being, as all of us are these days, and very nice lady, and she creates this pearl sim, and it's a great product. I use it to brush my little toothies. It's the best thing I've ever done for my teeth. Makes them look a little pearly. You can also take some internally if you care to. Here's a little bit about the pearl sim in the bone. Previously with Dr. Rulin Shu about her product called pearl sim. So let's talk about the teeth first. Explain to me what's going on, because there's something magical when you dip your little toothbrush in water. Why do they look so sparkly and just, I don't know, something very energetically about the look of them?
Yeah, it's very, very magical. So like a group of scientists in France discovered that when you put the pearl next to the bones or skins or other connective tissues, and they find it stimulates new growth of the bones and skins and connective tissues, and also to make existing bones and the skins more healthy and stronger. So brush your teeth with the pearl, then your teeth will make your existing teeth stronger, and also it will filling up, you know, teeth with the pearlsium, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
It's really a great product. You'll love it. Take it internally or on your teeth, and you can click an order, see the ad right there, pearlsium, the nice green container, pearlsium, on OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, I used to use a Dr. Nunley's formula, which he recommends is, what was it? A little bit of baking soda, salt, and I think baking soda and salt. He has his patients, and his patients do really well with that. But I changed to the pearlsium a few years back, and it really does, I think it does a better job, in my experience, of making the teeth a little pearl, you know, a little pearly whites. It's really a great product. And they're out of the powder. I've been using the capsules. This whole virus nonsense has got things backed up. Out where Adam lives, there's about a kabillion containers wanting to get ashore. I'm not sure. I think they're just clogging things up because these people are, you know, psychopaths, and they just want to make our lives miserable. But we don't care. We're happy, snappy. We're doing fine. So anyway, you can get the capsules right now. Any pearl sim link, OneRadioNetwork.com. We've done shows on this, and it's my opinion that the best way to protect oneself from 5G is simply doing it through your state of consciousness. This, in my opinion, is going to be all of the answers to 5G and the 6G and 12G. These guys can throw anything at us, but if we don't let it and believe that something can hurt us and allow it in, it cannot touch us. That's my experience. But as we work towards that, and you know, you really get this in your little DNA, your little RNA and your EPA and their CIA or something, this little thing will help you as you're figuring out how to do it without it. We're talking with Brandon Amalani, and he is the man who brings us the Blue Shield technology to keep us all those little EMFs from doing harm to our body. Mr. Brandon, the Blue Shield is a really beautiful little cube, right? That's the main product. And how does this work?
Well, the cube essentially sends out signals into the environment that entrain the body. So the body is affected by all these electromagnetic fields in the environment. Uh-huh. And when Blue Shield's introduced into the environment, the body starts sympathetically resonating with it. And what we found over 30 years of development is that the body prefers the algorithm, the frequency range, the randomization of frequencies that are exposed into the environment, and the body stops attacking EMF or perceiving the EMF as a threat. And what this does is it normalizes white blood cell count, and it also starts to reduce inflammation markers from the body trying to attack the EMF. Wow. So essentially what's happening is the body is basically renormalizing and reallocating immune power to the body, and it makes the body stronger and more well-regulated.
Good job, Brandon. That's an excellent explanation of how this technology works. It's called the Cube, the Blue Shield. See the ad on the front page. Use promo code ONERADIO for a 10% discount. Get yourself one. Take care of the whole house. That's Blue Shield right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. He also has a little contraption. I'm sure it has a better name than contraption, but you'll see it about the size of a credit card, and you can just charge it up through your computer on a USB thing, and it lasts a long time, and you can just turn that puppy on, put that in your pocket or purse or whatever, and you can carry it when you near cell phone towers. Say if you're going to the city, like I carry it with me when I go in the city, and I'm exposed to a lot of cell phone towers, even though I know I don't need it because I'm doing it without it. You know, it's just okay to do that because, you know, prepare for the worst or prepare for the best and hope for the best. I'm going to quit using that term, the worst.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Indeed, we do with Patrick Timpone and Mr. Adam Bergstrom. Yes, no, maybe, Chronobiotic Nutrition. Yeah, I did look in your book when I was looking at gallbladder, and so you were saying that the apple juice and the olive oil, you actually use that to get rid of the stones, but you do it. Oh, so this is like I see. Go ahead.
It will move the stones. Those little green things that come out in those fleshes again is margaric acid. You're making margarine in your gallbladder. But it moves the stones around, and that's all it takes. You can have them in your gallbladder. It's only when they get stuck in the duct or get stuck elsewhere. Most people die from gallstones in the ileocecal valve. Mm. And I used to wonder, how come the ileocecal valve is a big orifice and going out of the gallbladder through the common biliary duct and the pancreatic duct is smaller? How can you die for it going through a big one? And that's because when gallstones are allowed to sit in the colon, they concretize. They build levels of calcium and magnesium and ammonium, and they build as big as a baseball. So then when that comes to the ileocecal valve, it blocks it, and the person dies. Unless they do something like stand on your head. Ever think of that? If it's going to go down that way, you just stand on your head, move it back, move it out of the way. That's why yoga was designed to move the body around so that you could bypass these phenomena. And you can break those gallstones down over a long period of time, but it takes. I read that in my Third Eye newsletter.
So the apple juice, so you're talking about doing a gallbladder flush, like with the grapefruit juice and olive oil kind of thing, where you do like a half cup of olive oil, that's severe?
Yep, but a stitch in time saves nine, so why form them in the first place? If you eat correctly, then you don't have the problem, and it's always better, a stitch in time saves nine. I mean, it's mathematical right there.
So that would be ongoing, a little bit of olive oil every day, or what are some other things? The good fats, right?
Or cream. Or even, if you're really desperate, you even take an omega-3 oil at that point, like cod liver oil, because if you're going to die from not taking it, then you take whatever is available. But in our society, at least until this COVID crisis resolves, who knows what we will be doing for food. But right now, I can choose. I can get olive oil. I can get any type of oil I wanted, from coconut oil to different types of coconut oil to palm oil to you name it. So you take it to save your life. But if you only in an emergency, then you would have to take a fish oil at that point because it's die of old age. or die right now of a gallstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're going to do a gallbladder flush, like the ones we've talked about, and you do lemon juice or grapefruit juice and a lot of olive oil, would you do it right there, gallbladder time, or most of them recommend you do it like 8 or 9 o'clock at night? Have you had experience with that?
Oh, yes. I've done 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah.
Definitely. I've seen people cough up blood with the one I did. Here's the one I do.
Okay.
I start off the night before, and this is a fasting, you're fasting. All you're doing is taking 4 ounces of olive oil and 4 ounces of apple juice. You chug-a-lug it down, and you go to sleep. You wake up in the morning, you repeat the same. Then, throughout the day until high noon, you take 4 ounces of apple juice and 4 ounces of distilled water continuously every hour. And then at heart time, you take 4 ounces of corn oil with 4 ounces of tomato juice, and you chug-a-lug that down. Then you go back to distilled water and apple juice until bedtime, and then at bedtime, you take 4 ounces of olive oil and 4 ounces of apple juice, and you wait for the stones to come out, which usually take anywhere from 1 hour from the night you take it to 3 or 4 days after.
But you're doing it twice, the apple juice and olive oil, the 4 ounces. You're doing that twice.
Yeah, and the corn oil, so 3 times a day. It takes 3 times a day to move anything. It's like you want to shake something off your hand. One time won't get the water off. You repeatedly shake it off.
Well, I've got the tape, and I'll write it down. I'm going to try that. Now, it's hard to find organic corn oil, right? I did find one, remember, years ago. We got it from Europe. It's the only place I could find organic corn oil.
Yep. Now, if you really want to do it, since this oil is mostly going to go through you, it doesn't really matter
much
if it's organic. But, you know, if you can do it, and in our world now, at least in our world as it was last year, we can order any place in the world and get anything we want. I mean, we are in a connected society, but they don't want us to be connected anymore. You know, when you think of it, it's virus nationalism. They want to keep us where we live. They don't want us to travel or be a tourist anymore.
Yeah. Here's an email from Lynn for Adam Bergstrom. We're kind of wrapping things up. I've got a personal appointment. I got to move out of here. I could talk to Adam all day. Do cooked onions do any good for detoxifying? Cooked onions.
Yes, they do.
They do.
And the dextrinized one is better.
Yeah. Tell folks how you do that. I learned from dextrinizing onions from my grandma. She used to do that for spaghetti sauce. Tell them what that is.
They're really good. You have a baking oven. That's a dextrinized oven. You just put it in the oven until it bakes. They're delicious. You peel off the edge, and they're really, really good for you, and they're delicious. They have a variety of chemicals. Usually, the acids in it tend to go first, and the alkalis stay behind because they're minerals. It's hard to kill a mineral. You know, if iron is in a pot or calcium is in a pot, it's going to sit there. It's the nutrients that leave first, the vitamins and the vitamins. We need both. We need the minerals for structure. That's what makes this body suit solid. And then we need the nutrients for life force. That's what makes us move.
Move? I kind of got off track on the neck. So, as you know, I've been doing some really interesting pendiculation, stretching, yawning, I don't know what you call it, in yoga positions that I didn't even know existed, man. I'm just doing anything I can to move into the tightness, you know, and just, it's fascinating, Adam. I am seeing pictures of when I was a kid, you know, come out. I don't know. It must be stuck in there somewhere. But I can also do, if you really lift up your head, like you were telling me this friend did, you can reach areas there that really want to be stretched. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe all of us, our neck is a lot shorter per Dr. Shiver, right? A lot shorter than it really wants to be. And if we can lengthen it out, I think we'll be happier. Yeah. What do you think?
Definitely. I have a friend, I don't know if he's still in Austin, Robert Bustani. I recommended him as a guest at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And one time I was doing Qigong exercises with him. And for an hour, we just sat, and every minute or two, he said, stretch your neck more, stretch your neck. So to my amazement, my neck kept getting longer and longer and longer. I felt like one of those, you know, where they stretch your neck out like that and they do that. Because they kept on, every time I would put effort into it over time. So by the end of an hour, my neck was about an inch longer than it was before we started the exercise. Yeah.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah, I think that's why I'm noticing that. I'm thinking that's why people get crinkles in their neck too, because it's just smashed up there. You keep stretching it out, and all of your little crinkles go away. I barely have any now, and I had some, you know, a month ago. I had some. So fascinating. So would standing on one's head or hanging from one of those what do they call those things from your feet? Would they do the same thing?
They help too, definitely. All kinds of brachiation exercises.
Anything.
You hang from your arm.
Yeah.
Brachiation. The best exercise is watch how a child exercises.
Yeah.
How they move. Go 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. They go all over the
all
place.
All over the place.
Free form.
Yeah.
And look how flexible they are. God, they can put their foot behind their neck. They can do all of that. But as adults, they sit us in seats and say, you must sit in the seat and stare at the teacher. And you can't look out the window because then you're ADADH or whatever.
Does Vibrant Gals Yoga rub off on you? Does Vibrant Gals Yoga rub off on you magically?
Well, I was doing yoga a long time ago, but she's a better yogi than I am. I mostly did Sufi exercises where similar to yoga with a lot of free-form dancing involved, and veil dancing. Remember veil dance? The veil controls where you're going to move, and you follow the veil.
Follow the veil.
Dancing, belly dancing, too. Yoga doesn't do much belly dancing. They don't really exercise it like a good belly dancing will.
Well, Mr. B, it's always an honor to have you here. Thanks for coming on the show. Yeah. Namaste. May the blessings be. It is March 1st, 2021. Adam's two websites are sunsinknutrition.com. And that's the one where you pay 99 Federal Reserve notes for the rest of your life. A lot of stuff. And solartiming.com, where all of Adam's ebooks are, right, Adam? And you have all kinds of ebooks from $9 to $99. What are you guys going to do today? Oh, what's that?
That's Acidify or Die.
Oh, that's an ebook, Acidify or Die. Boy, you are a contrarian. Yeah. Remember when the guy, who was the fellow that came out with the Alkalizer Die?
Alkalizer Die.
Yeah. And now you're...
Well, look at the guy who said to drink more water. Dr. What was his name?
Batman Gelich.
Dr.
Batman
Gelich.
Yeah,
he told me... how much water I drank, he said, you will be dead within 1 year. That was in 90. He's long gone. I'm still here.
That's right. You outlive your doctors and you know you're doing the right thing, right? All right, brother. Thanks
a
lot.
He started yelling at me that the guy on the radio had to tell him to calm down.
Is that right? That's funny.
He was a nice man.
Oh,
I'm not going to do
it. I interviewed him years ago, I think in the late 90s, Batman Gelich. What was the name of the book? Your Body's Many Cries for Water.
That's it?
Yeah.
He didn't know about structured water, did he?
No, he didn't know. All right, kiddo, I love you. Thanks, Vibrant Gal. Thanks for taking care of our man here. And thank you for taking care of Vibrant Gal. It's a two-way thing. And we will see you soon. Let us know if we can help.
Thank you.
Have
a good day, Pat.
You too, brother. May the blessings be. Adam Bergstrom, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, he's the real deal. 80 revolutions around the sun. So, you know, if you want to talk to somebody about anti-aging, you know, talk to your host here at 74, Revs, or Adam at 80, and because we're just going to get younger. And I think Adam's going to grow that new set of teeth back after he screwed him up 30, 40 years ago. That's a crazy story, isn't it? Yeah, the whole... Yeah, Dr. Nunley's never been a big fan. I can recall some shows about you know, putting gold in there. Yeah, not a good thing. All right, kids, I got to go a little personal appointment. I'm going to go get some hairs cut. And we're going to go into Costco and pick up some organic chicken for my girl and go to the hippie food store and I've been eating a lot of squash lately. Boy, I love squash. You know, those little zucchini, yeah. They got the little ones, too, about 5 or 6 inches long. I could live on squash, cook squash. Okay, we got a lot of great guests coming up this week. Matthew Arrett, and he's going to tell us how deep is the deep state and where they started. And this is fascinating stuff for sure. He's going to be here on Wednesday. Also, Fred Dashefsky on Wednesday with The Real World of Money. Also, Ray Pete's going to be here tomorrow live. Get your questions in for Dr. Pete, 11 o'clock Central. Dr. Barre Paul, he is a regenerative farmer. And this is some things that we're going to be doing more shows about, really getting some farming done where it's regeneration and you're building, and not taking things out. So we're going to do more shows. And I think you might just show up with another person or two this week. I'm feeling my oats, and so I want to talk to more people. Feeling really great after our two-week sojourn into the ice and whatever it was. You just get stronger. What's that old saying? What doesn't kill you will make you stronger, right? I think that's true. But what do I know? All right, kids, I will see you tomorrow, if not before, with Ray Pete, 11 o'clock Central Time. The only place we're really on right now, believe it or not, the face plant, but we're not there doing anything except telling people about the show. And we're probably going to be there until our 5,000 friends kind of figure out we're not doing anything. We're looking at doing a little live kind of scrolling where you all can get right on One Radio Network and talk to each other when we're not on the air, but then talk to guests, you know, in real time. You know, one of those things you've seen where it just scroll along. So I think we're going to do that. Thanks for your ongoing support. I love you all very much. This is Patrick Timpone, and may the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.